Spurs TV play-by-play man. Bill Lamb joins us on the program right now. Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm well. How's it going, Sean? Brian, good to be with you.
Thanks for coming on with us, Bill.
The big question for Utah Jazz fans tonight is, what kind of a lineup are you going to see from the San Antonio Spurs? They're too far back to overtake the Golden State Warriors. They're far enough ahead of OKC or LA that they're not going to drop out of that two spot. But I can't imagine that Coach Popovich wants to let these guys get rusty or out of shape or anything like that. So should we expect the full complement of players minus Boris Diaw?
Well, I gave up a long time ago predicting Pop and his lineups. The one thing I can tell you is Boris Diaw will not play because he's not here. He's going to miss the three-game road trip because of a sore adductor. But and the Spurs on the rest of this trip, they're flying to Oakland tonight after the game and meet the Warriors on Thursday, and that's the start of a back-to-back with Denver on Friday. If I was forced to guess, I would think Pop is probably going to rest some guys in both of those games, which means tonight, with having a couple of days off since their game against Toronto at home, other than Diaw, he's got a full complement available to him. I would think there's a pretty good chance you're going to see most of these guys go. He's been trying to balance here down the stretch with them being locked into the number two spot, of resting guys as well as trying to give the opportunity to get some minutes up for people like Martin and Miller, who have joined the team late, and kind of get them a feel for what's going on. And then the other night, he extended minutes for Kawhi Leonard and some others in the win against the Raptors by pushing them because he wanted to keep their conditioning up. So it's kind of a fine balance that he's going back and forth with trying to handle things. Anybody's guess is a good one tonight.
If Pop had gone full tilt all season, didn't rest his guys, and that's kind of his MO, we've seen him do it the last couple of years, would this Spurs team be challenging the Warriors and making a run at that 72 win total?
I don't think so, because this year, I mean, it's the best year in the franchise history. It's just the Warriors have been ridiculous, and the team's 64th win the other night set a record. And when you look back at the games they've lost, most of them, they've been pretty full strength anyway. There's been a game or two here or there. You might say, all right, you played them. But I'm drinking the juice because I've just seen what the benefit that it gives this team, particularly when you have older players, that if they aren't healthy and ready for the playoffs, there's just no way you're going to win. I mean, I think last year was a pretty good example that because of some injury situations, some things they had, he still rested guys, but they were playing down to the final minute against New Orleans, and they end up dropping to the number seventh seed. They go on the road. They had that tough seven-game series with the Clippers. Tony Parker wasn't healthy in that series. They don't win it. Had they won it, I don't know if they'd have advanced another series because they were so fatigued. So, their priority, and they've got the luxury to do it with the kind of record they fashioned, is to simply be as healthy as they can going into the playoffs and then take their chances.
It's interesting because that word fatigue keeps coming up in relation to the Golden State Warriors, who are obviously in pursuit of a record right now, and they're in that number one spot. And most people look at these NBA playoffs and they say that, barring any strange circumstance, San Antonio is the only team that has a chance of knocking off the Golden State Warriors. Well, they're not resting right now. That's a team that, despite their youth, is displaying some signs of fatigue in this home stretch. And it's because they're chasing a record and they're unabashed about chasing that record. And Steve Kerr's got to try and manage all those personalities and their desire to get the record and also be 100% healthy during playoff time. So are we looking at a scenario, Bill, where potentially the Spurs could be that much better rested and even healthier than the Warriors, if and when they do meet up in a Western Conference final?
Oh, I guess it's always possible. I love Steve Kerr, and I like his thinking that he's saying, and he's right, that he goes, we're resting the guys that need rest, Bogut and some of those older players. And, of course, Iguodala is just getting ready to come back, and Ezeli has just come back to him. So they're in pretty good shape with that, and he has basically made a pact with Thompson and Curry and the younger guys to say, you've got to let me know when you need a night off. I think the only problem with that is if you think back to any player when they're at that age and as great as they are and as competitive as they are, they wouldn't be at the level they are. They tell themselves, I'm not tired. I mean, they relish this challenge, and that's admirable, but it could take its toll. But I still think the Warriors are so good that even if they're pushed to the final game to get that record, I still think that they're going to blow out their opening round opponent, whoever it is, and they're going to get all the rest they need for the next round when they might be challenged by I guess it would be the Clippers in this case, if you think things go to form. But I just don't think that it's a major factor. Steve's got a great handle on things, and I do admire the fact that, hey, getting this little piece of history is worth something. Those players really want to go after it. Their attitude is amazing to me, particularly a team that's coming off winning a championship to play with that kind of focus and enthusiasm all season.
Kawhi Leonard has taken his game from a very good all-star level player to now an MVP level player, still a notch below Steph Curry and what he's done this season, because everybody's a notch below Steph Curry. But how did they find this guy in Kawhi Leonard and get him to embrace what San Antonio Spurs culture seems to be? Because he seems to be the perfect fit. You could pick any player in the NBA to fit what the Spurs do. Kawhi seems to fit that. How did they get this guy, and how did they turn him into such an effective player in that system?
Well, I think if you gave him truth serum, nobody could say, oh, we thought he'd be this talented at both ends of the floor. When they made the deal on draft night, they traded George Hill to Indiana for Kawhi, and George Hill was admittedly one of Pop's favorite players, and he's been a really good player for Indiana. The reason they were willing to risk giving up George was they didn't know if he would be a dominant player as a starter, and they needed a wing defender to replace Bruce Bowen, and they thought Kawhi would offensively come around as time has gone on. They knew of his background as far as just a tireless worker. And from day one when he came in there, he's been an absolute sponge at trying to get better and has developed into this terrific shooter. His decision-making process has probably been as much of his improvement as anything this year with the fact that he gets double-teamed now and that type of thing. His jump from year to year has just been remarkable as far as the talent that he's got and the level he's playing at. And you throw in Aldridge in there now, and they really have a dynamic duo there to kind of lead, not replace the big three, but certainly they're at the forefront of everything the Spurs are doing right now.
Bill Land, Spurs play-by-play voice, joins us here on ESPN 700 for a couple more minutes. This Jazz team has unabashedly stated their desire to model things after the San Antonio Spurs as a franchise, to follow that model of success. You've obviously been around the Spurs and seen how they do things. You're seeing some of a young Jazz team developing and finally getting results and being in a playoff race, at least at the early goings. Does it look like they're following the right path?
Well, I'm a big believer in Dennis Lindsay. Knew Dennis in his days in San Antonio. And I think everything that they've done, And this year, to be sitting here now on the verge of getting in the playoffs and not having had Exum all season, Favors missing all of those games that he's missed, and hopefully Alec Burks will be able to return. But those are good and key players. And think if we had all those guys, it'd be a vastly improved team. And I think Quinn Snyder seems to have the right temperament to coach this type of team with the young guys, and the experiences he's been through have prepared him for it. It's a solid team with a lot of really good players and apparently a lot of really good character, which has always been paramount for anything San Antonio has done. To me, they're right on track, particularly look at the Western Conference right now, and there's obviously a difference between the top four teams and those other five that are battling to get into there. But it's not that great that within the next year or two, certainly Utah could jump up into that upper echelon with any kind of improvement, which you'd expect with the youth of these guys, that's going to happen.
But looking at tonight's game, the Spurs continue to win. And LaMarcus Aldridge has been hot. He's had 31, 32, and 31 in three of the last four games that he's played. And is he rounding into form at the right time and kind of starting to take off as that main option on offense, or that second option on offense with Kawhi Leonard, where he can push them over the top and actually make it a really competitive series with Golden State should they get there?
I think being comfortable is probably the phrase we've heard most from LaMarcus, that like most players that come to the Spurs, they have so much respect for what's happened in the organization and Big Three and the guys that are there, that they try almost too hard to fit in instead of just, hey, do what you've been doing. That's why the ball club wanted you. And you could see LaMarcus the first couple of months of the season, good nights here and there, and he would say that he would be a little bit slowed in his decision-making. Do I pass or do I shoot? Spurs had to learn a little bit more where he wanted the ball. He had to adjust a little bit more to some of the things that they do, whether it's in pick and rolls and that type of thing. And then I think the real key was when Tim Duncan sat out 8 or 10 games with a sore knee that had been bothering him, LaMarcus was put in a position where, not that Duncan was a big-time scorer, but it was like, you don't need to be worried about deferring to anything. And you need to produce, and you need to produce now. And actually, it really started right after they got humbled at Golden State by 30, and he played very poorly in that game. And since that point, he's been much more aggressive. He's just that knockdown shooter from that 17, 18-foot range. And I think he's better defensively than they thought he would be, too, which is obviously a must if you're going to play with the Spurs. So it's all been good with him. And he and Leonard have learned to work together better as well. I think as far as that goes, they're playoff ready as far as those two guys and how they fit.
Bill, we appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy the game tonight. I won't be out there, but should be a fun one.
All right, fellas. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bill.
That's Bill Land.